For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 18 of the series.
We looked in detail regarding the principles and patterns that we need to understand in order to give us the proper foundation to understand how the greater Exodus is going to come about. And then we looked at the events that are associated with triggering the greater Exodus. And so we saw that the nations will divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem through the recognition and creation of a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. And this will result in the judgment of the nations. And central in the judgment of the nations for dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem is a judgment upon an end-time spiritual land called the Daughter of Babylon, mentioned in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 21, Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah 50, and Revelation 18 that has the characteristics of the historical literal Babylon of old under King Nebuchadnezzar, but is instead an end time nation, which I believe is the United States of America. And just as Pharaoh in Egypt were being judged through 10 plagues, that while the nations are being judged for dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, the God of Israel will end the exile of his people. That is Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom being the 10 tribes, which were headed by the leading tribe of Ephraim, or the house of Joseph, along with the Southern Kingdom in the house of Judah, who was headed by the leading tribe of the tribe of Judah. And the prophecy about Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom becoming one is found in Ezekiel in chapter 37 verses 15 through 28. And so just as the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt from plagues that came upon Pharaoh and Egypt, the greater Exodus will come about while judgment is upon the nations for dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And these judgments are associated with the tribulation period, even the great tribulation period, the great tribulation being the 3.5 years that precedes Yeshua setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives. And so just as the children of Israel came out at Passover from Egypt, the greater Exodus will begin at a future Passover that starts the great tribulation. And so then the tribulation period is called Jacob's trouble. It's associated with birth pangs, like a woman giving birth to a child. And so then we will have during the tribulation period, as is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8, we will have the birth of the biblical state of Zion. And so this is Zion coming about where we can see it in the natural. And biblical Zion is a nation born in one day during a time of travail, the tribulation period. And Isaiah chapter 66, verses 8 and 9 is linked with Revelation chapter 12, where we see there that a woman who is crowned, that means she has authority with 12 stars, that's the 12 tribes of Israel united, and it is a prophecy of Israel ruling over the nations, which will come about when Messiah comes to end their exile and he sets up his kingdom and he teaches the Torah from Jerusalem to all nations. And so the greater Exodus ends up being the resolution of the conflict between Jacob and Esau. And it is through Jacob, where the God of Israel promised the birthright and the kingship. And so Joseph within Jacob was given the birthright, and Judah within Jacob was given the kingship. And even though Esau sold his birthright to Jacob in Genesis chapter 25, he still wants to have the power and the role of it. He just doesn't want to serve the God of Israel, neither advocate the following of the Torah of the God of Israel. So when the nations want to establish a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, where the primary area that would encompass the state is the West Bank, or biblically it's the mountains of Israel or Judea and Samaria, the nations of the world, along with Esau, are spiritually trying to claim that the birthright belongs to them, because most of the land area that was given to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh encompasses what we now call the West Bank. And so the nations wanting to have control and power over Jerusalem, they are in essence trying to usurp the kingship that was given to Judah. And since Yeshua is from the tribe of Judah, ultimately the kingship in this world, in the kingship of the universe, belongs to him. And so ultimately, the greater Exodus is the resolution of the conflict between Jacob and Esau. And so when we're looking at the signs by which we can determine when these things are going to happen in our world, I've already specified to you the sign that the nations dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem and establishing and recognizing a Palestinian state, that's going to be a trigger event that will ultimately culminate in the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel, the uniting of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, and the greater Exodus. And then secondly, we have the sign of the birth of biblical Zion, Isaiah 66 verse 8. And that is when the governors of Judah that are mentioned in Zechariah chapter 12 verses 5 and 6 rise up in non-acceptance by the nations trying to recognize a Palestinian state. Their rejection of that Palestinian state, wherein they want to claim hold to the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they will declare an independent state in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, of which the Bible names in Isaiah 66 verse 8 as Zion. And this is an event that is associated with the start of the Great Tribulation, as we can see in Revelation chapter 12, because once the woman in Revelation in chapter 12 gives birth, see, she's giving birth to biblical Zion. She's given birth to the Messiah. And so the Messiah and biblical Zion become one. And so then there's going to be opposition to this from the nations of the world. And once we have the birth of biblical Zion, it inaugurates Messiah revealing himself to his people and to the world. But as soon as we have the birth of biblical Zion in Revelation 12, we have the greater Exodus. The period of time of the greater Exodus is 3.5 years, 1,260 days, as the fleeing into the wilderness in Revelation 12 is the greater Exodus. And so the time in which the greater Exodus is going to happen is during the Great Tribulation. It will begin at a Passover that starts the Great Tribulation. The duration of the Greater Exodus then is 3.5 years. A third sign that is associated with the end of the exile and the Greater Exodus is the defeat of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Because once the armies of Gog and Magog are defeated, we have stated in Ezekiel in chapter 39 and verse 25, thus says the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. He says that he's going to end Jacob's captivity in exile once we have the defeat of Gog and Magog. So those are your three signs that you're looking for that triggers the greater exodus, the dividing of the land, the birth of biblical Zion, that is the declaration of an independent state based upon the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and a declaration that that state will follow the Torah of the God of Israel, and then the defeat of Gog and Magog. So these are some of the things that we've covered in previous sessions. And so in this session, we are going to share with you that it's the Messiah who gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we're going to see that the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel is for the intent and purpose of sanctifying his name, because as long as his people are in exile, then shame comes upon his people, and the name of the God of Israel is desecrated among the nations. In other words, they don't revere him, they don't give him glory, and they don't seek to follow him. And so then what we're going to see is that the way in which the Messiah gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel is how he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, which is by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So these are some of the things that we're going to be sharing in greater detail here as we continue the teaching. So to begin with, we need to understand that it is the role and the task and the function of the Messiah to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. Yeshua is having a conversation with the Pharisees in John chapter 9. And at the end of John chapter 9, he is asked a question by the Pharisees. John chapter 9, verse 40, they ask Yeshua, are we blind? John chapter 10 is Yeshua's answer to that question, at least the first part of the chapter. So in answering the question, are we blind? Yeshua says in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Now, when Yeshua is making a reference to the good shepherd, he is making a declaration by reference that he is the Messiah and that he is going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. Because we can see in Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 10, it is written, hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd does his flock. And so the gathering of the exiles of Israel is likened unto the good shepherd gathering his sheep. And so this says that the good shepherd that gathers is also the one that scattered. Well, the one that scattered did so because when he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, they broke the covenant, and as a result of breaking the covenant, they were exiled in the nations of the world. So when Yeshua says he's the good shepherd, and we make a link to Jeremiah 31 verse 10 and see that the good shepherd is also the one that scattered his people, we can see in this that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And so then we can also look at the role of the good shepherd if we go to Ezekiel in chapter 34 in verses 11 and 12. It is written there, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Verse 12, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So this is going to give you a time time reference when we're going to see the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's associated with a time in the Bible called the Day of the Lord. And the Day of the Lord goes back to creation, where we see in each day of creation is evening and morning. And then the Creator, that is Yeshua, as He created the heavens and the earth, John chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 10, in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, tells us that Yeshua created the heavens and the earth, that the one that created the heavens and the earth on the seventh day, He rested from His creative work. Well, that seventh day Sabbath of creation is going to be prophetic of a period of time on the earth, that the earth is going to rest from it laboring for 6 days. Each day represents 1,000 years. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8. And so the 1,000-year messianic era is the prophetic Sabbath of creation. And so each day is an evening and a morning. And so the messianic era begins in the evening. The Day of the Lord begins with darkness and gloominess. And so this is why Hebraically, that the tribulation, great tribulation period, is a part of the messianic era. It's the darkness part of the 1,000 years. It's the darkness part of the Day of the Lord. And that darkness ends with the breaking of the day. And the breaking of the darkness is when Yeshua sets His feet down on the Mount of Olives, because His rule and reign on the earth is light. And He's going to be teaching the Torah to all nations, Isaiah 2:3. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, we're told that the Torah is light. So Yeshua is going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel in the cloudy and dark day. So this is a term for the Day of the Lord, as we can see in Joel in chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "Blow the shofar in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the Day of the Lord comes, it is near at hand." And the Day of the Lord is a day of darkness and gloominess. And so when Yeshua is going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel from Ezekiel 34:12 is in the cloudy and dark day. And in Ezekiel 34:13, it goes on to say, "I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel." The mountains of Israel is Judea, Samaria, the West Bank, and the mountains of Israel extends to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. So the primary designated place of return is Judea, Samaria, the West Bank, and Jerusalem. And so this happens in the Day of the Lord. And so in the Day of the Lord, we see it described this way in Joel chapter 2, verse 2. It's a day of darkness and gloominess. That's negative. But the Day of the Lord is also said to be a day of clouds and thick darkness. And so the clouds and thick darkness is a reference to Yeshua gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is called the glory of the Lord. And so in Deuteronomy in chapter 5 in verse 22, in describing Mount Sinai and the presence of the one who is there giving the Torah, this is how Mount Sinai is described. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire of the cloud and of thick darkness." So He spoke out of the cloud and thick darkness. And so the Day of the Lord, Joel chapter 2, verse 2, is a day of clouds and thick darkness. That is because when Yeshua brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was one cloud by day and pillar of fire by night by which He led them. But the exiles of Israel are scattered throughout the world. And so when He gathers them this time, there's going to be multiple cloud by days and pillar of fire by night. It's a day of clouds, plural, and of thick darkness. So the Day of the Lord is both darkness and gloominess. That's judgment. That's negative. That's because the tribulation, the great tribulation, is a part of the Day of the Lord. But the Day of the Lord is also clouds and thick darkness. That is positive. That is is Yeshua gathering his people from exile back to the land in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So the day of the Lord encompasses both of these things. Now I'm going to show you further how that it is during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation is when Yeshua gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel. And we can see this in Revelation in chapter 7. In the first few verses of the chapter, it describes 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel who get sealed. And then a question gets asked in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And this is because after we're told about the sealing of the 144,000, it says in Revelation in chapter 7, in verse 9, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, of peoples and tongues. And so then a question is asked, who are these? And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, it is answered this way: these are they that came out of great tribulation. So we can link these that came out of great tribulation with the ministry of the 144,000. The ministry of the 144,000 is associated with these that came out of great tribulation. The great tribulation is the 3.5 years before Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. And then describing these of every kindred, nations, peoples, and tongues that came out of the Great Tribulation, it describes them this way in Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. They will hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and he will lead them into living fountains of water. So this is a description of those that came out of great tribulation. And so Revelation in chapter 7 in verses 16 and 17 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 10. And so Isaiah chapter 49 verse 10 is those that came out of great tribulation. So we need to go back to Isaiah chapter 49 and see who these people are. And so in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, it says, it's a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. It is talking about the servant of the Lord, who is the Messiah, and his role to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And then speaking about the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, raising up the tribes of Jacob, it then goes on to say in Isaiah 49:9, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. And so the exiles of Israel are likened unto prisoners, and they have been put in their prison house because they departed from the Torah. We see this in Isaiah 42, verse 18. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Verse 19. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. And so who's deaf and blind? It's the Lord's servant. And Jacob is the Lord's servant. And then it says in verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his Torah. So Jacob is in exile, which is called his prison, because he would not follow the Torah of the one that brought him out of Egypt. So in Isaiah 49:9, it's being said to the prisoners, go forth. That is Jacob in exile, to leave his exile. Now here's what it says about the prisoners who are being told to leave their exile. Isaiah 49:10, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them.
Well, that's going to conclude part 18 of the series on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua, the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.